Hello and welcome to this episode of the Nothing Ventured Primer with me, Arish Shah. Today in the studio with me, I am super excited to have with me Sameer Singh. Sameer is the creator, educator, and networks effect advisor at breadcrumbs.vc, a go-to resource for learning about network effects. He is an Atomico angel and recently joined Speed Invest as a venture partner, working with the marketplace and consumer teams focused on network effects. Sameer, it's great to have you in the studio with me here today.
Thank you for inviting me, Arish. Always a pleasure.
Awesome. Well, let's kick straight off. Can you give us a bit of background about what you've done in the past and how you've sort of built up into now being a venture partner with Speed Invest and Atomico Angel and obviously Breadcrumb VC?
Sure. I mean, we hear the term nonlinear career path fairly often in venture. I think this one is actually one that is nonlinear. I'll start when I was part of a family office in India, and this family was essentially building railways in Africa. That's how they made their money. But one of the sons of the family, he had some background in tech. He had built a keyboard app that achieved a certain degree of success. So he wanted to create India's rocket internet.
Got it.
So I was helping him on that. And turns out that incubating companies is hard. So we stopped doing that and started investing in companies instead, investing in startups. So that was my first foray into startup investing. This is back in India, in Hyderabad, one of the quote-unquote tech hubs in India. While I was doing that, I started writing a blog about mobile businesses. So essentially iOS, Android, mobile app businesses, stuff like that. That blog became a bit more popular than I thought it would, and ended up making quite a few connections with folks outside India. I ended up writing a couple of papers on how these business models work, and eventually got in touch with a company called App Annie who were stalking my blog. They tried to hire me, asked me to move to China or the US. I didn't want to go to China. The US visa system is just scary. But eventually they convinced me to move over to Europe, to London, where the visa system is not completely insane. Joined them in 2014.
Wasn't completely insane. We're not entirely sure how that's going to happen.
My frame of reference is still the US, by the way.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Spent 5 years there. For the last many years, I was their head of consulting. What that meant in practice was that App Annie was a market data business. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to figure out how many downloads, active users, any app in the world had, you'd go buy their data and you'd get those estimates. But turns out lots of App Annie customers didn't actually know how to use this data. And at one point, pretty much every consumer tech company was an App Annie customer a long time ago. And so my team's job was to go in and say, hey, based on what you're struggling with and what we see, these are the countries you should be expanding into. These are the product features you should be building. So essentially, it was like an product and GTM advisory sort of function. And we do that both pre-sales and in some cases post-sales, but mostly pre-sales. So, and it turns out lots and lots of App Annie customers were either competing against network effects or had network effects of their own. So I was already sort of dabbling in that topic when I was writing my first blog, got a bit deeper into it. Eventually, App Annie became a late-stage company, and I wanted out. Left in late 2019, took a couple of months off, and after that, started thinking about what I wanted to do next. I knew I wanted to get into venture. I knew I wanted to focus on network effects. I had no idea how, because I knew no one in venture, except for two people, essentially. I knew the head of research at Atomico, Tom Viemeyer, because he was an App Annie client, and he knew me from reading my blog while I was in India. So that was a good connection. We sort of interacted occasionally, but sort of never enough to jump into venture full time. And I'd actually recommended someone who used to work with me, and they moved there over there as well. And that became sort of a good connection.
Yeah.
But again, not enough to jump into venture. So I decided to start writing about network effects, what I knew. I thought I'd write a couple of posts. I wrote two. The pandemic hit, had a lot of time, kept writing. Essentially wrote for a year, a book's worth of essays about network effects. And at one point, Atomico reaches out and said, hey, we actually discuss what you write in our sort of weekly, monthly team meetings. Can you come and present some of this stuff to us? So November of that pandemic year, the first year of the pandemic, I had an hour and a half presentation with the entire firm. And apparently no one left during that presentation. And so after that, they said, hey, do you want some money to invest? Which was fortuitous because I had basically spent a year writing an investment thesis. And I was getting a lot of deal flow from founders reading that stuff.
Yeah.
What I didn't have was capital. So this took care of that problem. So early 2021, I started investing via the angel program. Got a bit more capital. Now I'm part of what they call the alumni angel program, starting in 2022. And my thesis was exclusively investing in companies with strong network effects. During this process, a lot of founders and folks started reaching out and asking me, hey, do you teach a course about this stuff? And that was never something I had thought about, but I was like, okay, why not? Let's try it. I already had all the content in like a very, very long Google Slides deck. So I took a week to put slide titles on and create a couple of exercises based on that, and I had a course ready to go. So initially, I sort of just put out a LinkedIn post saying, hey, I'm teaching a course next week. Someone want to join? Turns out I need to give people a bit more time. So that was a good learning from that. Yeah. But that gradually turned into applied network effects, which I now teach on Maven. And most recently joined Speed Invest as a venture partner, essentially doing the same thing I'm doing via the Atomico Angel program. I invest only in founders with network effects, invest in pre-seed and seed. For me personally, post-MVP, early engagement and retention metrics, missionary founders rather than mercenary founders. Those are sort of broad strokes of what I look at.
So just for our listeners to understand, I guess there's a bit of a difference also between Atomico Angels versus venture partnering at Speed Invest, because presumably with Atomico, you have a set kind of pool of capital that you have been allocated to invest, whereas with Speed Invest, presumably you're investing out of the wider fund. Is that
yep.
right?
Yeah. So essentially the way it works is Atomico allocates a certain pool of capital to you. There's a minimum check size and a maximum check size that you can write. And you write up an investment memo and share it with Atomico to say, I'm investing in startup X, Y, and Z. And I keep a 25% carry on my investment. So in practice, it's like running a very, very small fund, except Atomico handles all the back office operations. So I don't need to worry about the admin and the fundraising and all that part. With Speed Invest, it's a full-fledged fund, right? I'm working directly with the fund there. I'm investing out of the fund. So essentially, I'm not taking the decision by myself. I need to take the deal to IC, which is the marketplace and consumer team itself. There's an IC on the team. And sort of there's another IC that sits on top, which sort of more us. It's an advisory IC. So it's a slightly longer process as it would be with a fund compared to an angel. But essentially, because I'm investing at the same stage, I'm usually going to be doing. I'm going to be considering doing both. In the same startup, I might essentially put in an angel check from Atomico and consider leading the round from Speed Invest as well.
Got it. So let's just talk about sort of what you're investing in, what stages, what geographies, sort of that check size that you mentioned as well. Clearly, it's network effects driven or applied network effects. But what are the sort of businesses that you're looking at? What stages, what geographies, what check size?
So the types of businesses, essentially anything with network effects is up for grabs that can range from social networks on one end to B2B marketplaces on the other. Personally, for me, about 80% of what I end up investing in ends up being consumer. B2B network effects do exist in the B2B realm, but they're fundamentally a bit more challenged in some contexts. So there's a lot of things that need to go right there, whereas there's fewer restrictions to a network effect in a consumer business. So that's just sort of the math of network effects, which ends up playing out that way. In terms of geographies, via the Angel program, I only invest in Europe. Where Speed Invest, it's primarily in Europe. We occasionally might end up looking here and there. So, for example, I'm looking at a deal in Singapore right now because there's a founder that I've known for a couple of years. But predominantly, I'm going to be focused on Europe.
Okay. And what sort of check size are you deploying?
With my angel tickets, it's roughly 30K. With Speed Invest, the check size can vary between, I'd say, $500,000 to $1.5 million.
Yeah,
it depends on sort of a few different criteria, but there's some room to play there because, again, Speed Invest can lead both pre-seed rounds and seed rounds.
Okay, got it. And so if you were to think about sort of two or three businesses, either in your portfolio or outside, what are you really excited about? What sort of businesses are you really sort of excited about the future for?
Man, this is like picking between your kids, right?
Yeah, always. So I like putting people on the spot with this one, yeah.
All right. Okay, there's a couple, there's two or three that I'll name drop. One is a company called Howbout, which is a, if I had to explain it in simple terms, it's a social calendar. But if I had to essentially put out the vision, it's a social network for your real friends. Mm. That company had about 5,000 monthly active users when I invested in their pre-seed. They've now cracked 180.
Amazing.
And this is all off like a couple of million in seed funding. So their trajectory is phenomenal. One of the things you look for in founders of any network effect company is that they need to be extremely data savvy. Fundamentally, this is not an enterprise business where you can talk to your customers to figure out what they want because there's too many of them. And customer behavior is the product. It's not what you've built. It's people interacting with each other.
So that's what leads to the network effects. Exactly.
So data savviness is extremely high on the list, and they're one of the most data savvy teams that I've seen. Very, very strong on product as well. So those guys I'm very, very bullish about. Then there's another company called Smitten, which was a dating app originally from Iceland. And when I invested in them, dating was a very, very unsexy topic.
It was a fairly sort of saturated sector, right? There was a lot of and the only kind of exit path was one of the larger companies. Yeah.
So Smitten's thesis was slightly different. They fall somewhere at the intersection of social gaming and dating. The only way to match with someone is basically to play a game with them. So it's almost like two truths and a lie. And there's a couple other games that they've been designing, and you essentially create a rich profile and create these quizzes about yourself. And so that leads to more natural conversations. And also, the game itself is so much fun that dating almost becomes secondary. Mm. I remember the founder called it entertainment for singles, which was, I think, phenomenal. And they're adding more and more social features on. So it's looking more like a social network than a dating app with gaming elements in it. So it's essentially a new category right now. So and both Howbot and Spin essentially are pushing the category creators, right?
Yeah, and presumably during the kind of pandemic and over the last couple of years where obviously there's been, you know, distancing, people not able to interact in the same way, it's a perfect kind of spawning ground for this sort of a proposition.
Essentially, yes, because both Howbot and Spitten, they came about during the pandemic. And the fun part was that people were interacting with them even during the pandemic when they couldn't see each other, which told me there was something there.
Exactly.
And of course, after the pandemic, that's been a massive tailwind for them. So I think that's those two I'm super excited about. Another one, which is very far removed from these two, is a company called Farmland, which is a SaaS-enabled B2B marketplace for selling fresh produce. Mm-hmm. So essentially, think about a large farmer who's growing acres of strawberries, and he has to sell containers full of them to Waitrose or to a distributor. The issue with them is when they do that, it takes them months to get their payments. And so they essentially started an invoice factoring process to essentially pay them early, which incentivized all the sellers to bring their buyers onto Farmland. Mm-hmm. And that then unlocks the opportunity for a marketplace. And that's one of the things you need in a B2B marketplace, because if you're doing direct sales on both sides, it's not going to work. Mm. Direct sales is a very slow way to grow a business. You can only do it on one side. And so if you're doing that, then you need that side to bring on the other side. So seller-driven or buyer-driven virality is a big criteria of mine for looking at a B2B marketplace, which is why I look at so few.
Yeah. Okay, that's awesome. And if you were to think about maybe one or two technologies or sectors that you're really excited about, outside of those three ventures that you mentioned, what have you got your eye on? What do you see as up and coming over the next year or two? You are more than welcome to say ChatGPT or GPT-4. Most people haven't, but just throwing it out there.
So this answer is going to be both slightly boring and slightly controversial. There isn't one. Because if you look at the history of VC investing, every year VCs pick a new trend. Mm. And, this is going to be the next big thing.
Yeah, Web3, crypto, generative
and
AI,
it takes
whatever.
7 to 10 years to build a company. If you have a new trend every year, how does that work? that fundamentally does not make any sense to me. And this is why I tend to be very technologically and thematically agnostic. What I care about is how the network effect works, which means how are users connected to each other, how far are the nodes, how unique are the nodes, and so how scalable or defensible is the network effect. I fundamentally do not care what vertical that falls into, what technologies they use, as long as that interaction it's a specific and novel interaction, because you need that to create a new network effect, otherwise you're running into somebody else's. Mm-hmm. And two, that interaction solves a problem that is widespread. Like, even things like market sizing that sort of VCs love doing, I think that market sizing is astrology for VCs.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, it's entertaining but not useful.
Yeah.
Because...
Right, you're just picking numbers out of thin air. You're creating the narrative that you want to create.
Anyways. Yeah, because think about this company. Let's say a company comes to you at seed. They say, you know what? We help you sell futon space in your living room for someone to crash in. How do you estimate the market size for that company? That company is now Airbnb.
Yeah.
Another founder comes to you and tells you, hey, we let you send a disappearing photo to somebody else. That company is now Snapchat. Like, estimate the market size. How do you do that?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. The only thing you can do is, okay, what problem is this company solving? How widespread is that problem? Therefore, the market is big enough. Yeah. It needs to be big enough for you to invest in. It doesn't need to be X point a Y billion.
Mm. That makes a lot of sense. And we like controversy. It sells. Listen, Samir, we're going to get into a lot of this stuff on the main podcast. Thank you so much for doing this primer with us. Looking forward to getting down into the detail.
Sure.